Good morning, Crestview.
Good morning.
Good to have you here this morning. As we come this morning, we'll begin with our deacon prayer. And before we have the deacon prayer, I want to share with you a verse this morning. It is a prayer of repentance from David. It's in Psalm 51, verse 10. David says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Let's go to the word in prayer. Father, Lord, we come before you today, and we just give you the honor and the praise that you deserve. And we just thank you, Lord, for a place that we can come to worship and to worship freely. And we know, Lord, through David's example, that no matter what we've faced this week, no matter what we've went through, no matter what we have done, we can always come to you and pray a prayer of repentance to have a clean slate before you. And so we just pray, Lord, that you be with us today, and that you would open up our hearts and mind to your word. Speak to us. Help us, Lord. But help us to be willing to go to you. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Good morning, Crestview family. Welcome. Thank you for choosing to come worship with us on this windy day. Glad to have you with us. If there are any guests or visitors with us for the first time, we'd love to get to know you. If you'd fill out a card that's in the pew in front of you, drop it in the offering plate just so we can get to know you. We'd appreciate that greatly. A couple announcements about today. The first one is, in here and on the slide, it says the chili cook-off's at 5 o'clock. Well, I talked to the Long Range Planning Committee, and we are going to bump that back 30 minutes till 5:30. So 5:30, the chili cook-off. We're going to bump that back so they have plenty of time to get their meeting done and get out for that. I don't think 30 minutes is going to be too much of an inconvenience. So 5:30 for that tonight. 4:30 if you're on the Long Range Planning Committee. Come out for that. And the chili cook-off tonight, I'm modeling what you could get if you're participating in the chili cook-off tonight. If you're going to make a pot of chili, would you slip your hand up just so I could kind of see who's making chili tonight? Let's see. All right, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So we got about, right now we got about 5. So if you go home and you decide, hey, I want to make some chili, stop by Ingles on your way home, get you some stuff, make some chili, bring it on out tonight. You're going to get this and a $25 Amazon gift card for that chili. Chili, the first place to get the Amazon gift card, and I've got these for first, second, and third place. So look forward to that tonight, and it's for donation only, and everything goes to our youth and kids retreat fund. Wednesday night meal, another change from the bulletin because I messed up. I could have put it all on Laura because she made the bulletin, but I told her what to put in there. I, for some reason, told her to put baked potatoes and salad in there. Well, we are going to do pintos with all the fixings this week. And Larry said to tell you that at some point in time, somebody had mentioned something about pork chops. The reason we are backing off and doing pintos is, I don't know if anybody has looked at the weather Wednesday. I don't know what the roads are going to look like Wednesday, because it looks like we may get some winter weather. So, but fill those forms out, drop it in the offering plate if you can. And so we can get a count for how many people are going to be here Wednesday. And if there are any changes to our Wednesday night service, we will be sure to let you guys know. But Lord willing, we'll all be here Wednesday. Yes, and if you have any questions, if you look outside and say, man, it's slippery out there, and you hadn't heard anything, reach out to one of the deacons. You can send me a message or whoever. And we do our best to get around and call everybody. But, sometimes things slip through the crack. And And but everybody does our best. So if you have any questions and you hadn't heard anything, reach out to a deacon just to be sure everything's still on schedule like normal if we do have winter weather. You know how the weatherman is, though. He's the only person who can get his job right wrong 90% of the time and still have a job. So we will see how that goes. Next Sunday, we are going to have a youth council meeting, and that's going to kind of carry on because the Long Range Planning Committee is communicating with me, and we're working on a spring Easter egg hunt block party. So I will have some information for my youth council about that. That's right after church next Sunday. It'll be a brief meeting. I'll have you out of here by 4 or 5 o'clock. No, I'm just kidding. It'll be a brief meeting. And so just keep that in mind. I don't think I have any more announcements. I'm going to call Mr. Jim up here, Mr. Jim Humphreys. He's got something for you. And after that, we're going to turn it over to Don and invite you to worship with us this morning.
Thank you, Chad. Good morning, Crestview. I'm here to speak on behalf of the Pastor Search Committee. Ushers, if you would please hand out what I gave you earlier. And as you do that, do not fill them out yet. What the ushers are handing out is something entitled Pastor Survey. It has 12 attributes on there that we're going to ask that each member fill out, labeling number one the most important, number two the second most important, down to number 10. There's 12 on there, so you're not going to have all of them marked. You'll notice that out of these attributes, there's nothing addressing the actual foundational doctrines of the church. That's because those are non-negotiable. Any candidate that has anything in contradiction to our foundations will not be considered. When I say foundational, I mean things like God's word is, the Bible's God's word is inerrant, that Jesus is the only way to Christ. Those foundational things, they have to have or they're not going to be considered anyway. These attributes are just different things that some people are going to be stronger at some, and some are going to be stronger at the others. Now, the reason I say don't fill it out is we don't need everybody's opinion. What we need is for the Holy Spirit to move in our hearts. So before you fill this thing out, I want you to pray about it. And when you're done praying about it, I want you to pray with your spouse about it. And then when y'all are done praying about it, I want you to pray with your whole family about it. And our intention is, after you've prayed about it and asked the Holy Spirit's guidance, you assign values to these things and bring it back with you. We're hoping Wednesday night, assuming the weather doesn't mess that up, we'll start with this on Wednesday night at our prayer time. So if you can be here Wednesday night and things go well, bring it with you, and we'll talk about it further Wednesday night in that prayer meeting. And if for some reason you can't be here Wednesday night, then bring it back next Sunday. That'll just give you more time to pray about it. I have no doubt that God is already preparing our next pastor. I don't know what stage of preparation he's in or how long it'll be before we find him. But the same Holy Spirit that's preparing our next pastor is our Holy Spirit too. He's the only Holy Spirit. And if we pray, if we fervently yield our opinions and give our hearts to the Spirit as we do this, then when we compile these surveys, we're going to have what the Holy Spirit is going to ask us to look for in a candidate. I mean, we know we're going to have the foundational doctrines or they don't have a chance. We might have several men that are foundationally solid but have different attributes that they stress. And out of the 10 you're asked to pick, I'm hoping we'll have at least the top 3 or 4 stand out. And then that'll give us another tool to filter through some candidates that they need to be somewhere in those few attributes. Because if the Spirit's guiding the pastor, the bee, and the Spirit's guiding us, they're going to coincide. Because people are not going to agree apart from the Holy Spirit. We can't please God apart from the Holy Spirit. So I urgently ask that you take this very seriously. You pray about it. Don't fill it out frivolously, because then it don't really matter. If you have a question about something, if there's a attribute that you think should have been on there that's not, write it in on the bottom of the line and assign it to your value. If we find an attribute that's been listed by several different people, well, we should have included that one, shouldn't we? So don't be bashful about writing in one if you think there's one we should have had on there. And if there's some other question that you want to ask, our pastor search committee is Amy Wright, Kathy Humphreys, Maria Wesson, Larry Hammett, Robbie Mullinax is the alternate, Linda Kaiser, Doug is our chairman, and I am the co-chairman. If you have a question, ask any one of us, and if we can't answer it then, we'll bring it before the committee and we'll get you an answer. But we just want you to pray about this survey and really take it seriously and pray for all of us on the Pastor Search Committee that we're in the Spirit, that God will give us the eyes we need to find the candidate that he's already chosen for us. Thank you.
Good morning. Would you join me in prayer? As we have a lot of families that have lost loved ones in recent months, and I know a lot of people have been impacted by the flu and other things, COVID still going around in some places. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we take time to be able to say thank you. Thank you for letting us be able to be alive and be able to come to this place to gather together, to worship you, to honor you, to lift your name on high, for it is the name above all other names. We praise you for who you are and the fact that you work in our lives. Sometimes we're aware of it, sometimes we're not, but you are there present with us, being with us through good times and difficult times. We thank you for how you are faithful to us. We thank you that you're willing to forgive us when we have fallen short. And we thank you for giving us the possibility of a relationship with you through Jesus Christ. We lift up those who are around us who are grieving this day, that you would comfort their hearts. Pray that those who are recovering from surgery and illnesses, that you give them strength. And pray that you just watch over our community and keep it safe. And we pray that more and more people may come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and have that void filled in their lives to receive Jesus Christ as Lord. We give you this service for your honor, for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to open with a hymn that some churches will not sing. It's a song that has been misinterpreted. The hymn is "When We All Get to Heaven." So some churches think that this is the message that no matter who you are or what you are, even a non-believer, that this song is saying we're all going to go to heaven. This is a song that we as the Christians can sing. If you're not a Christian and you wonder how we can sing a song like this, it's because of that just that wonderful feeling that we have that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And beyond a shadow of a doubt, we know we're going to heaven. So would you stand as we sing 514, "When We All Get to Heaven."
When we all get to heaven.
going to sing that chorus one more time, but I've asked Tara if she'll come up here. The words are up on the screen, but I hope that you know the words well enough so that you can watch Tara interpret this chorus for us. And if you catch on, join with her. She told me she wasn't bashful.
When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that would be.
That you have given us. What an honor it is for us to worship you by giving of our gifts and our tithes. And I pray, dear Lord, that you will bless the giver and bless this gift. For it is your holy name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. And I'm going to ask you to stand again as we sing 519, Face to Face with Christ My Savior. 519, would you stand, please?
Christ my Savior, face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ who died for me, face to face I shall behold Him, far beyond the starry sky. In all His glory, I shall see Him by and by. wishful moment, face to see and know, face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who loves me so. Face to face I shall behold Him, far beyond the starry sky, face to face in all His glory, I shall see Him by and by.
Amen. Thank you.
Can I get any kids to come forward this morning that are here for our children's sermon? Good morning, guys. How you doing today? I'm a little thirsty. I'm going to get me a drink of water. I brought me a bottle of water here. What do you guys think? You guys think that's going to be good?
No.
You don't think that's going to be good?
No.
Why? That's protein, isn't it?
No.
Oh, that's dirt. Okay. So this bottle of water is dirty. So let's look. So if you were going to drink a bottle of water, which bottle of water would you prefer to drink? This one or this one? This one over here. I think 100% of the people in this building would say they would rather have this bottle of water than this bottle of water. Why is that? Well, you want the one? You want this one? All right, well, if you want this one, when we go to Children's Church, I'm going to let you drink it then, okay? All right, I don't think you want that bottle of water. So this bottle of water is pure. It says purified drinking water on it. What does that mean, that it's pure? It means you can drink it, yeah, but it means it's clean, it's clear. It has no foreign objects in it. Or the germs have hopefully been purified out of it, right? So today's Bible verse is, we are continuing in the Beatitudes. And today's Bible verse is Matthew 5:8. And it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. All right, so it's easy to see why this is pure and while this is not pure, right? But what does it mean? What do you guys, somebody tell me what they think it means to be pure in heart. What is that? What do you think that might mean? What could that mean? Anybody? Well, to be pure in heart means that God has taken our heart and He's taken all the bad things out of it. And He fills our heart with love and joy, and all that good stuff, right? Now, God wants our hearts to be full of love. He wants us to love Him, and He wants us to love His people, right? Can you agree with me there? All right, so does that mean that because God's taken over our heart, does that mean we're never going to get mad at somebody, or we're never going to just look at somebody and say, I don't want to talk to them today, or we're never going to think or do anything bad? Does that mean that? No, it means God wants our heart to be pure, and the only way our heart can really be pure, there's nothing we can do. This water is purified through a system that they use to clean all the germs and the dirt and all the stuff out of water. Our hearts are purified through our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the only way. There's no other way to do it. Because of this thing called sin that we talk about a lot, which is when we disobey God, when we do something God doesn't want us to do, when we don't do something God wants us to do. Slide back, okay? Don't do that. So sin makes our heart dirty. And Jesus, through our relationship with Him, it's the only way our heart can be purified. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing. You can't be good enough. You can't be kind enough. You can't be nice enough. It's only through Jesus. And he did that through what? How did Jesus make our, how, what did Jesus do that he can make our hearts pure? What did he do for us? Anybody? Y'all are quiet today. What is it, Hayden? What did he do for us? He died on the cross for our sins and rose again on the third day so we can be holy, so we can be pure. And so when we go to children's church, we're going to talk a little bit more about what it means for our hearts to be pure. And one thing I want to challenge you guys to do this week, and everybody in here, is to love other people. Even if we disagree with what they say, it doesn't mean if we love somebody, it doesn't mean we're saying, oh, okay, you're right, whatever. It means, you know what, that I love you regardless, because God loves us regardless. But it's, we can only come to that relationship with him. We can only join together with him through Jesus and through accepting and having that relationship with Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk more about that. So let's bow our heads and we'll go out for children's service after our next song. God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for each one of these boys and girls. Lord, thank you for giving us pure hearts through Jesus and what he did for us. Lord, I pray that each one of these kids, that as they grow, they come to understand more and more what it means to have a relationship with you. And Lord, be with everyone in here. And I pray that if we have something in our hearts today that's dirtying up the water, that we hand that over to you and we give all of our cares, all of our burdens, all of our wrongdoing, we just commit those over to you and trust in who you are. All this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
So there was this church having a service and the pastor asked, who out there wants to go to heaven when you die? Raise your hand. Well, of course, y'all, how many of you out there want to go to heaven when you die? Okay, just like this service, everyone raised their hand except for one little boy who was sitting on the front pew, and his name was Johnny. Well, the pastor thought maybe Johnny wasn't paying attention. He didn't hear me, so the pastor asked again, how many out there want to go to heaven when you die? Raise your hand. Same thing happened. Everybody raised their hand but little Johnny. So the pastor just couldn't take it any longer, and so he just asked Johnny, Johnny, don't you want to go to heaven? Don't you want to go with all of us? And Johnny said, yeah, I know I'm going to heaven, but you sound like you're getting up a busload right after church, and I ain't ready. A survey was done. It was given out to Christians. And on a scale of 1 to 0, how sure are you that you'll go to heaven when you die? Children 12 and under, 90% said they knew without a doubt they were going to heaven. And then we got to the teenagers. Only 50 to 60% said they knew that they were going to go to heaven after they died. And then we get to ages 20 and up. It didn't go up by much. Now, we're talking about Christians. Only 60% of the adult Christians still said that they were sure they were going to go to heaven when they died. So the Bible tells us that Jesus said, I am going to prepare a place for you. And then again in Philippians, he says that our citizenship is in heaven. So as a Christian, we need to be unshakable and unbreakable about our relationship with God. We need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt where we're going. You know, God wants us to be in heaven with him. And he wants us to even know that we're going to be in heaven with him. And when we get there, the Bible tells us that the angels stand around the throne and they worship God. And it also says that overwhelmed by his magnificence, we will fall on our faces in happiness and say, praise and glory and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Sounds like a pretty exciting place to be. So believe in him, trust in him, give him your life. Give your whole heart and being to him. And know 100% sure that you too will be around that throne singing praises to our Lord and Savior.
Sometimes my load gets heavy with the things I carry. This world looks upon my path, but all I have to do is think where I'm headed to, and I'll find no reason to turn back. When you look for me, look around the throne, I'll be singing with the angels there, singing glory to his name, and forever I can change. So look for me around the throne.
The half has not been told, the sights I shall behold when I enter my new home.
But the one I long to see is the one who set me free.
In just a few moments, we'll be reading from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. I want to encourage you to come out on Wednesday nights, not just for the meals, but it's really a good time of fellowship. You get to sit around and table with other people from the church and be able to cut up with each other and just get to know each other and actually spend more time than we can possibly spend on Sunday mornings. And so you get a chance to meet and get to know people that you haven't gotten to know, as well as feeding your tummies as well. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 1 and reading through verse 8. May together we read the word of the Lord. When he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Would you join me as we pray? Lord, we pray you open our eyes and our hearts to your word, that you might be able to speak words of challenge or comfort, whatever it is we need to hear. We pray that you give us the courage to act upon your words so that this impacts the way in which we interact with people in the world, how we treat people, and even strengthen our very relationship with you. For all this, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I am confused. This is not a place I haven't been many times before. But I am confused. This parable, this beatitude says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." But I thought you couldn't see God. That God is so overwhelming, so holy, so awesome, that no one could look upon God and still live. And yet Jesus is saying, if your heart is pure, you will see God. Think about all those people in the Bible that have been in the very presence of God for one reason or another. Adam and Eve. God was present in the garden with them. After they sinned, they hid from God because they didn't want to look upon God. When Moses heard a voice coming from a fiery bush, he hid his face because he knew God was present. Elijah covered his face with his mantle when he was in a cave, and he sensed the presence of God as God spoke to him. God even told Moses on Mount Sinai, no one could look at the face of God and live. So how in the world can Jesus be able to say that the pure in heart will see God? Well, maybe we have to start back at what is the heart. We think of the heart, and we typically think of the heart in scientific terms. That's the thing that keeps pumping and flowing blood around through our bodies. We also, and it'd be inappropriate just around Valentine's Day, heart is what we feel our emotions with. When we mourn, our heart breaks. When we rejoice, our heart swells. Unfortunately, the Hebrew understanding of emotions is a little bit different. You don't feel emotions in your heart. Do you know where you feel emotions? In your intestines. You ever heard somebody say, "I have a gut level feeling about that"? Well, I think the card companies would go out of business. "I love you with all my small intestines," and have a picture of a small intestine flowing around. I just don't think that's going to sell. But from the Hebrew mindset, the heart is not just where you feel things. You do feel things in your heart, but the heart is the center of the will of the person. It's where we make decisions. It's where we weigh out what's important and what's less important. That's what the heart functions. The heart is where deep feelings that make up the core of a person's life, the center of the will. It's where we make decisions. It's where we decide what we have time for and what we don't. It's what we can afford and what we can't afford. All is governed by the priorities that we set in our heart. It is the centerpiece of each and every one of us. It's our commitments. We even say, well, you know, I gave up because my heart really wasn't in it. It wasn't that much of a priority. The heart is the center of who we are as people. God is even described as having a heart. When there was wickedness that took place on the earth, God decided to flood the earth because he could see the hearts of men and women, and they were evil, and that it grieved the very heart of God. But it also grieved him so badly that he promised never again to flood the world by earth. Then comes time that he encounters Pharaoh. Pharaoh, 10 times he is asked. The first 9 times, Moses, won't you let these people go? And Moses said no, and the Bible says he hardened his heart. And then after the 10th plague, once again Pharaoh says no. This time God hardens Pharaoh's heart. God then led him across the Jordan. The hearts of the kings that ruled the lands melted according to the scriptures. They were told to love God back in Leviticus, and Jesus quotes this when he asks the question, what is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. All of that takes place in the heart. They followed their own hearts, meaning they set their own priorities, not God's priorities. And that's what led them astray from God. Others, they sought after a heart of God so that their heart would rejoice. So how do we have pure hearts? We have hearts. We all make decisions. We all have priorities. How do we decide what is really important and what really is not as important that originally I thought was so important? Jesus gave the greatest commandment. You've been in our study in John's Gospel. It's come out twice. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Now that Jesus quotes in Matthew's Gospel. But Jesus also says in Matthew's Gospel, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. So our heart tells us, what is it that we treasure? Not just what has to be done. No, I know I have to go to the grocery store and we're about out of bread. They talk about snow on Wednesday, so we got to have milk and bread to get ready for that. So we have different things in our heart setting what we have to do and what needs to be done. But when it comes down to it and there's a shove and we can only do one thing and there's 3 things we want to do, how do we determine which of those things we're going to do? That is dependent what our treasure is. The heart is where you really know your deepest desires, what's really of ultimate importance. Jesus went on to say, out of the mouth comes straight from the heart. If we're angry in the heart, anger's what's going to come out. We may not think we're displaying anger, but other people hearing our voice will display anger. I could be driving to church and somebody pulls out right in front of me, and I'm frustrated by that. And the first time I speak to somebody, I'm saying hello to them, and they said, are you mad at me? And I said, no, but you sound like you're mad at me. Because it changes the tone of our voice. If anger's in our heart, anger's going to come out. Whether we want it to or not, we don't have a choice. It's going to filter its way out. If we're angry enough to harm someone, we've already sinned in our heart, according to Jesus. Paul tells us that salvation is a matter of the heart. In Romans chapter 10, verse 10, actually, verses 9 and 10. If you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, what does that mean? That means you could vote, once you have done that, you have confessed with your mouth, you believe in your heart, you will be saved. It's not saying, Well, you know, there's probably a 1 out of 100 chance or 1 out of 5 chance. It says you will be saved. It's not ambiguous. This idea of whether you're going to heaven or not, that is not based on whether we're worthy to go to heaven. I don't feel worthy to go to heaven. But fortunately, it's not my worth that gets me to heaven. It's what Jesus did on the cross is what gets me to heaven. And here, Jesus is being able to focus our attention. If you will simply confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and mean it, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Period. For man believes with his heart and is so justified. He confesses with his lips and is so saved, according to Paul. Blessed are the pure in heart. Well, it's one thing to become a Christian. It's one to have a relationship with Jesus. But how to have a pure heart? Well, we can try to remove the dirt, which is what Chad was talking about. Jesus once asked the children to be brought to him, and his disciples were then taught a lesson by Jesus. As he points to these children, like the ones that were just up here a few minutes ago, he points to them and says, "Unless you become as a little child, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven." Okay, so we're supposed to act immature? What are we supposed to do? Return to childhood? Jesus said we must be born again. There's a difference between childlike and childish. Childish is what I do when I want to get attention. Childlike means you have the character of a child. And what is the character of a child? Youth minister is always one of the bravest positions anybody could have. Far more dangerous than any pastorate. Because you ask a question to one of these kids, and they're going to say what they actually think. There's no filter of, oh, I probably shouldn't say that out loud in front of the whole church, but I'm going to say it because it popped in my head and it just seemed to need to come out, and so I'm going to say it. So youth ministers have heard all kinds of things, but it's because they're honest. They're pure of heart. A child is pure of heart because they trust unbelievably that we have learned not to trust because we've been betrayed by friendships. You get them on this steps and says, "Jump in my arms." And by the time you start preparing, they're already halfway there. They trust you. They learn how to trust. And over time, as we become adults, we learn not to trust. We even teach them stranger danger and all kinds of things. But they have an ability to trust without reservation. And Jesus is saying, that's the kind of childlike faith I want my disciples to have. Where you're willing to trust me. Take me at face value. Not trying to figure out, oh, I can trust you here, but not over here. Just trust me. Allow me to be able to serve you. We have to become like a little child. Jesus says, or we cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Maybe a better way of saying that. A heart is pure that has not only made room for God, but has made God its treasure. Let that sink in a minute. That a pure heart is not just one who has made room for God, but where God is the treasure. God is the priority. God is that which brings joy to our lives. We open our hearts to God, and then God can reveal to us how to live in a way that pleases God and serves God's purposes. But this is not easy to do. My plastic bottle is almost empty. I need to fill it up. So I fill it up, I go to the refrigerator, and I get that chocolate syrup we put on ice cream, and I just fill it up with that. What am I going to taste? Chocolate syrup. What if I pour orange juice in here to fill it back up? What am I going to taste? Orange juice. No matter what I put in here, it's going to change the taste. The only way to fill this up where I can taste water is if I pour more water in it. The pure in heart are the ones that allow God to continue to pour water and more water and more water as we grow in our relationship, so that the pure in heart is drinking nothing but pure water. Now, that doesn't come easy. It takes a lifetime, sometimes not even more than a lifetime. But that's the goal in trying to be able to be pure in heart, is not to fill it with a bunch of stuff that may taste good, but it dilutes the taste of the water itself. God wants to give us that pure spirit, and he pours love into our lives, and love is what he fills our glasses with. All ambitions and goals in life are driven by one thing: how can I bring pleasure to God? How can I honor God? How can I serve God? Jesus made this simple in John's gospel. When you've seen me, you have seen God. I should have known that. I should have known that. My confusion is, how can we see God? Because we see Jesus. One of the most remarkable part about the death of Jesus, as just as Matthew records it, Jesus is getting ready to breathe his life, last breath out of his body. It's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The earth shakes because they realize the significance of the event that is just taking place. And then over at the temple, something's happening. The temple curtain, which is very tall and very wide, and only the high priest could go in because that represented the presence of God. And one of the earthquakes, and all of a sudden, the temple curtain tears from top to bottom and flays open. At the very death of Jesus, it's like the world and the temple itself had to say, "See the face of God in the man who just breathed his last." To see God is to see Jesus, because Jesus is God in human form. And unlike previous generations, from the time that Jesus appears on the earth, we have the possibility of seeing God and not just withering away to nothing. To see the very face of Jesus is our way to see God. But it depends on what we filled our cups with. If I fill it with all kinds of other stuff, all I do is I see a man that lived 2,000 years ago who died tragically on a cross because he was misunderstood. He had a lot of good moral teachings, and that's about it. But if our glasses are filled with water, we say, surely this was the Son of God who is the Savior of the world. And so it depends what the other stuff that's floating around in our heart is, whether we can see Jesus for who he really is or sees him the way the world sees him. It's amazing the number of people throughout history, even those from other religions, that have been impressed with Jesus. Mahatma Gandhi loved the Sermon on the Mount and based his passive resistance that he used in India, again, based on the teachings of Jesus about turning the other cheek. But the bottom line is whether there's room in our hearts for the Lord of Lords. To make room, we must see Jesus as Savior, meaning the one who pays the penalty for our sins, and not to be thinking heaven is based on whether I earn it, because our checks bounce all the time there. But it's because of the check Jesus wrote that we are covered. But he also is Lord. Savior and Lord are two different things. Savior means you accept what Jesus did on the cross to save you from the penalty and the power of sin. Lord means you put him as your treasure. You lift him up and say, that's who I want to honor. That's who I want to not only believe in, that's the one I want to bring joy to. If we know we need our hearts to be made clean, if we know that the things that dominate our hearts come from some other source other than God, then Jesus' words are words of hope and words of promise. Seek God with all your heart. Believe in Jesus Christ in your heart. As Paul said, confess with your lips that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. And if we do that, I believe with all my heart, you will see God, because you will see Jesus, who Jesus really is. The once sent from the Heavenly Father to be able to teach us exactly what God wanted to teach us. The temple curtain revealed it. And when we can recognize Jesus is the face of God, then we need to have a house cleaning. Those very words shudder me to the fabric of my being. I still have baseball cards from when I was a kid. I'm a pack rat by nature. I don't like getting rid of things. But when it comes to our relationship with Jesus, sometimes we kind of have to put some things aside to make room so that water can come and fill our cup. Clearing out all the stuff that hinders that effort, then we can give him the place he deserves, the very throne of our lives. To purify our hearts, allow us to see God in person, in the person of Jesus. Think of hundreds of generations that have passed without that privilege, but we can see that today. And all we have to do is believe in our hearts, confess with our mouths, and make Jesus Lord and Savior of our lives, and you will see the face of God. Let's pray. Lord, as we come to you this day, we pray that you help us to be able to honor you in all that we say and do. If we have not begun that relationship with Jesus, give us the courage to begin that relationship with you by confessing with our mouth and believing in our hearts that you are indeed Lord and Savior of our lives. If we have become a Christian and it seems like our water bottle gets filled with a lot of other stuff, help us to decide what needs to go in and what does not need to go in, so that we can still taste the water, still sense your presence, and still know that you are Lord and Savior of our lives as we face the things the world throws at us. I pray that you continue to guide us and continue to draw us ever closer to you. For all this, we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to come. I'll be down front. If someone wants to talk about becoming a Christian, I'll be happy to talk with you about that. I'll be happy to talk with you. You want to be a part of this fellowship. Also, if you just want to come down and have me pray with you or pray down here, the altar is open for you as we stand and sing together.
Would you stand as we sing hymn 489, Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart.
Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart.
In my heart,
in my heart.
as we call Christian Baptist Church, Shelby, North Carolina, LLC, and the church conference, I ask that you would bow with me as we pray.